Good afternoon to everyone. My name is Pavel Horský, I'm CFO of EPH, and I will I'll try to present you the 2022 results of EPH. I would like to also present you my team, which is Gary Mazzotti, who is the Vice Chairman of the Board of Directors of EP Infrastructure and CEO of EP Infrastructure. Then we have Filip here, Filip Bilák, who is member of the Board of Directors of EP Power Europe and CFO of EP Power Europe. I have also Tomáš Miřacký, who is Executive Finance Director of EPH. And then last but not least, Václav Paleček, who is CFO of EP Infrastructure. So welcome once again, and let's go to the presentation. The presentation is published on our website, so if you want to open it, it's www.epholding.cz. So now we are on page 5. Maybe I will be a little bit longer with first two pages because I would like to explain you what has happened in 2022 and what was the impact on the results of EPH. So first of all, EPH is a relatively unique, vertically integrated energy group operating in mainly in Western Europe, including Czech Republic and Slovakia. The group consists of several diversified segments, which provides the company with a very huge diversification, which then translates into stability and resilience of the business model. Very important feature of our operation is that we are trying to be either strong or dominant player in segments which we are operating in. The resilience is also given not only by the by our diversification, which is where we operate in 9 countries, which provides a diversification from a regional perspective. I think that our model is slightly different compared to other big utilities in Europe because these utilities are mostly focused on one country and are subject to regulatory and regulatory changes and risks which are associated with this specific country. In our case, we are spread through 9 countries, so we are not exposed to any specific risk of any country, and this kind of diversification provides, in our view, a much better risk profile compared to others. The other very important element in our operation is that we have businesses which are in fact negatively correlated. So if one segment is not operating or is under market stress, the other segments within the group are providing better results, which you can definitely see in 2022 results, where, for example, the company which is transmitting gas through Slovakian territory, which name is EUSTREAM, was impacted by the situation in Europe and high gas power prices, but at the same time the rest of the group provided much higher results, which more than offset potential risks which were associated with EUSTREAM. Another very important feature of EPH is that we are focused on regulated, contracted and quasi-regulated activities, which further improves the business models of EPH and the stability and resilience. All these elements helped EPH in 2022, despite a very challenging situation in the markets, to achieve unique results and the best results in the history of EPH. The EBITDA of the group was 4.3 billion euros compared to 2.3 in 2021. Free cash flow generated during 2022 was 3.2 billion compared to 1.4 in 2021. Net leverage went down from 2 times EBITDA to roughly 1.1 times EBITDA. And cash flow conversion even improved from excellent 63% in 2021 to 73% in 2022. What If you look at year 2022, I think what was the most important element in coping with the challenging situation in the energy market was to be able to provide a very good risk management within the group. The second point was that you have to be in a position to have sufficient liquidity cushion through the year. I think these topics were the most important for us during 2022, and I believe that we have managed in a very good way, because if you look at EPH, we've been one of the few big utilities in Europe which were not in a need to ask for folk state support during this challenging period. And also, if you look at the cash and liquidity buffer at the end of 2022 of 4.6 billion euros, I think it's speaking for itself that the company and the group was in a very good financial shape. If we now flip to the page six, I think that EPH with installed capacity of 14.4 gigs of installed capacity is one of the critical power supplier in Europe, and we provide vital and irreplaceable services for Europe. And in 2022, it was even more important because obviously the Europe was under constraints in terms of availability of power generation capacities. This stemmed not only from Ukraine-Russian conflict, but I would say even more and mainly from low availability of new capacities in France, because in 2022 EDF was not provided compared to expectations 100 terawatt hours of power, which for your just to give you an example, it's almost 20% of consumption in Germany. So this amount of power was missing in Europe. So every kilowatt hour of power generated in 22, which the generators were able to generate, was very important for the market. So our position was critical. We were able to generate 43 terawatt hours of power in 2022. In terms of strategy of EPH, I think it's as you know, we consist of two subgroups. One is EP Power Europe, the other one is EP Infrastructure. EP Infrastructure is focused on infrastructure businesses, which are very stable, in principle regulated or long-term contracted, and in principle these businesses are having very strong position in the market and are either leading or having very strong position in the market. The second part, which is EV Power Europe, is focused on providing balancing services for renewable energy. So what we are trying to provide is flexible generation of power, which can be used in times when renewable energy is not available. This is a very important balancing element, and I think it's underestimated in European power generation mix, and we believe that the flexible power generation flotilla will be profiting from the current situation where the flexible capacities are not actively developed. EPH is also a leader in energy transition in Europe. I think we are trying to accomplish real transition, so we are not only selling the assets and sort of pretending that the energy transition is happening, but we are focused on real transition. So we are actively in negotiation with governments and regulators in each and respective country where we operate, and we are discussing what the needs of the network will be in the future, which capacities will need to be replaced, which capacities will need to be transformed from one field to another one, and this is in our view the real need of economy in energy transition in energy transition process. So what we have achieved so far, we have achieved a decline of emission intensity of the group by 34% from 2015, and we have already saved 25 million tons of CO2 per year compared to 2015. We are already generating 72% of power from zero or low carbon emission sources. And also we are heavily investing into new zero or low carbon capacities, mainly in the UK and Italy. And the overall spending which we are currently considering is 2.3 billion euros. And also what is important is that based on commitments and real action which we are preparing, EPH will be almost coal-free by 2025, and we will be zero coal by 2030. When discussing with shareholders and also discussing the strategy of EPH, we have decided to create a new company, sister company or sister group to EPH, which name is EP Energy Transition, and we have decided that this group should hold mainly lignite operations in Germany. The reason for such action is that we would like to even increase the pace of the energy transition, and we would like to have a dedicated entity for such transition. So what in reality will happen is that currently EPH owns 50% in the company LEAG, which is third largest power generator in Germany. This stake in LEAG will be moved to EP Energy Transition. EPH also, and it will be done, it will be done during 2023. And by 2025, we also move to EP Energy Transition, a company called JTSD, which comprises of lignite mine Mibrak and power generator Škopau. And as I said, this new group will be fully focused on energy transition. What it means, the group will be one of the leading or is already leading developer of renewables in Germany. The plan is to build around 7 gigs of new installed capacity in renewables. The company will be active also in the field of batteries, where we are already building batteries, and we have other projects in the pipeline. We'll be active in the domain of energy from waste, and also we are discussing with the German regulator and network operators how to replace the existing capacities in LEAG by hydrogen-ready gas-fired power plants in Germany. And this is a very important topic because energy transition is not only about environmental aspects, but energy transition is heavily also about the social aspects of the overall change. And these are not only people and regions, which are obviously very important, but also this is the necessity to keep sufficient flotilla of flexible power generating capacities to support affordable power, and to achieve a security of supply for the whole market. Overall, these initiatives in terms of spending will represent roughly 10 billion euros, which we are planned to spend in LEAG and JTSD companies in energy transition process during next couple of years. So this is a heavy initiative which we are going to accomplish. If we go to the page 7, and apologies, 1.2 page 6, which I have forgotten. I think if you look at EPH these days, What we have in portfolio is gas transmission. We have in portfolio gas storage. We have gas distribution, and we have a gas-fired power plant flotilla. If you look at it through the future perspective and the efforts to change the gas-fired power plant and energy generation from gas to hydrogen, you see that EPH Group is and will be clearly a leading company in transition from gas to hydrogen, because whole our flotilla will and is already sort of vertical integrated chain which can perfectly fit to hydrogen future, which should happen in the near future. So also this part of our commitment and are heading towards being a leader in hydrogen future of power generation in Europe. On page seven, there is a summary of most points which I have already said. So if I just split it into two or three parts, you have business and financial key elements which I would like to emphasize. So first, most of our assets are having leading position in markets and have a strategic importance even for Europe. Our operations are regulated, long-term contracted kind of infrastructure and power generation assets. We have diversified portfolio. The portfolio diversified not only from business perspective, but also from regional perspective, which provides, in our view, for us a better position than for many of our peers. What I have not mentioned is that we have excellent cash conversion ratio. So if you look at our leverage, which is already low, and you will then translate it into cash flow leverage, and our position will be even stronger compared to our peers. In terms of debt, and we will discuss it later, we have very good maturity profile of our indebtedness. And I would like to emphasize once again, EPH is proud to have very strong and good risk management, which helped us a lot during 2022. And the other element which helped a lot as well was financing and mainly keeping sufficient cash buffer within the group to cope with the situation in the market at the time. The second part of points which I would like to summarize are ESG points. As I said, EPH believes that true energy transition is the right way to go, and in this respect we are trying to transform the current portfolio into something which will be fully compliant with the targets, but also will be in position to provide flexible power generation for markets which are very important from social perspective. We have already achieved, in our view, very interesting results in terms of savings of in emissions, and we plan to spend a huge amount of money, as I mentioned, 2.2, 2.3 billion euros, to further improve our flotilla in a way to decrease the CO2 emissions. We are very well positioned to be a leader in hydrogen future transition. We are actively dealing with ESG rating agencies, and I think we have already achieved very good results as we are 17th in the portfolio of companies or peers which are rated by the company Sustainalytics. And last very important point is that all this could not be achieved without a very good management which we have in the company. And I think here what has to be said is that the private ownership of the company of EPH plays a very important role, because we have a management compared to publicly traded companies. We have management which is in place for a very long time, I would say from the beginning of the company. So this management not only was part of the development and growth of the group, but so knows the group and the companies inside out, but also this management is here for a very long time and proved that we are able to manage the company even in rough times. And I think that years 2002 and 2022 are a very good example of these two sort of black swan situation in which EPH was performing very well, and I would say exceptionally. If we go to the page 9, there is another way how to look at EPH. So EPH, from a business segment perspective, it's in fact six businesses. As I said, these businesses are some of them are negatively correlated, which helps a lot to gain support, stability, and the robustness of the business of EPH. I think what is also important is that to mention our transition goals. The transition goals, in principle, there are three main. One is to be zero coal by 2030. As I said, this is something which we are committed to achieve, we believe that that already in 2025 the share of coal on EPH will be very, very small, and I will explain later on what the exceptions in terms of coal generation will stay in EPH and why. What we would like to achieve is also reduction of CO2 emissions by 60% from existing generation plants by 2030. I think we have already achieved a lot. We will spend a lot of money. So we believe that this goal is achievable. And again, we have already saved 35%, and we would like to save another 60. So it's a huge achievement in our what we believe. And I would like to repeat once again that we believe we are passionate to be a leader in hydrogen future of Europe. If we go to page 10, I think I would like to focus on KPIs of the group. Clearly, you can see that in terms of power generation, the group was increasing the output and generated power. The reason is very clear and already several times mentioned. There was not enough power in Europe at the time. So we've been trying to support the grid by generating as much as possible. On the other hand, if you look at the distribution business, you can see slight decrease of distributed volumes. The reason, there are two reasons. One reason is that the winter was relatively mild, but I would say even more important reason is that the overall consumption in Europe was lower because of initiative raised by European Union to decrease the overall consumption by 10-15%. So from our perspective, what it means is that in principle we believe that the consumption should get back soon, so which is in fact a positive sign for our businesses in EPF in the future. If you look at page 11, there is a summary of mainly financial KPIs. You can see clear path of EPH that we are trying to increase our profitability, and at the same time we are decreasing our leverage through time. And nowadays EPH belongs to one of the least leveraged company in Europe among peers. page 12, there is a summary of our initiative in terms of splitting EPH into two companies, in fact, two sister companies. So what we are trying to accelerating energy transition, obviously, to do so, you have to be very much focused on this topic at one point, and also financially, EPH and EP Energy Transition are having a little bit different targets. So all these reasons were behind a decision to create EP Energy Transition. Briefly, LEAG will be contributed this year. JTSD, which is Mibrak and Schlupau, will be contributed by end of 2025. And there will be huge in energy, EP energy transition, there will be a huge investment program to support energy transition, which will consist of renewables, batteries, energy from waste, and critical replacement of critical power plants by hydrogen-ready power plants. The whole investment is expected to be at a level of 10 billion euros. What it means for EPH? For EPH, it means that by 2025 we will be coal-free, with two exceptions. One exception is Fiume Santo, which is the power plant in Sardinia. This is hard coal power plant which is currently run under Mastrand regime from Terna, which is operator in Italy. The reason for Mastrand regime is very simple, because without Fiume Santo, there would not be enough power to supply in Sardinia. So therefore, we have been asked by or requested by the operator to enter into Mastrand regime. By the way, the Mastrand regime is not something which generates huge money. It's cost plus structure. So again, we are not making money on it. This is something which is regarded by us much more as a service to the island than anything else. Even more, we have already provided Italian government and regulator with the plan to convert the plan into either biomass or to hydrogen ready power plant. But so far, we are waiting for the response from the Italian government. So until we get this decision, we have to run the power plant in the current Mastrand regime. But at the same time, we believe we will receive the feedback relatively soon. The other exception are CCGTs, CHPs in the Czech Republic, so heat plants in the Czech Republic. These are lignite fired power plants which are going to be converted into hydrogen ready again. We are already in the phase of negotiating with the Czech government and European authorities how to convert the power plant. The plan is that the whole conversion should be finalized by 2028. So by 2030, EPH is coal-free for sure. By 2025, there are two exceptions, and between 2025 and 2030, we believe that we become very soon a free coal company. If we go to page 13, which is the first page of two, which is covering more or less debt and debt position of the company. You can see that gross debt of the company was roughly 7.9 billion euros, cash and cash equivalents. So in our perspective, liquidity buffer was 3 billion at the end of 2022, so gross debt 4.8, EBITDA 4.3, so leverage 1.1. Very straightforward. I think what is important again to repeat here is that you should, for EPH, because of our very high conversion ratio from EBITDA to cash, the EBITDA leverage is not the best the best ratio to compare us to peers. Much better ratio for comparison is let's say cash flow based leverage, because in this respect we are even better compared to 1.1 EBITDA based leverage. The other point, very important, is that we are very conservative, not only financially but also in terms of acquisitions and capex. And last but not least, our shareholders are very flexible in terms of dividend policy. So in case of a need, we are, or the shareholders are, able to very reasonably behave in terms of level of dividends paid out of the company. And just for your reference, we can decrease, if we do not pay any dividends, we are able to decrease our leverage by roughly half EBITDA per year. So if you look at EPH today, and if we decide not to pay any dividends, we are in 2 years completely free of the debt. Also, what is very important to say is allocation of the debt within EPH group, because EP infrastructure had roughly 3x EBITDA at the end of the year. So most of the debt is sitting in EPIF, which is infrastructure regulated business, so stable, which was awarded by two investment grade ratings. And the rest of the debt, which is very small in fact, is sitting in EPH and EP Power Europe. So if you look at EPH, you have to appreciate that debt sitting at EPH plus EP Power Europe is almost zero these times. And for any creditor which sits at EPH level, we are not relying on EPF dividends. We are relying just on the business of EP Power Europe. And last year, EBITDA of EP Power Europe was 2.9 billion euros. Sorry. So you could see that having almost no debt and having EBITDA of 2.9 billion euros, in our view, means that the financial profile of debt sitting at EPH level is very strong. On page 14, what we are going to present is debt maturity profile of EPH. Clearly, we have no imminent needs for refinancing. In a year 2024, we have to refinance partially bonds which are maturing in EPIF, but at the same time, the bonds at EPIF are 750 million euros. Cash sitting at EPH is over 900 million euros these days, so there is no refinancing risk in EPIF at all. The rest sits at EPH level. At EPH level, and if you look at the EBITDA of EP Power Europe and the debt which is maturing in 2024, it doesn't represent any material topic for us. The rest of the debt is mainly in EPIF, and it's represented by bonds issued in EPIF and in the group which is called SPP Infrastructure. Page 15. There is an org chart of EPH. Again, EPH consists of EP Power Europe and EP Infrastructure. EP Infrastructure is owned by EPH from 69%. Remaining 31% are owned by Macquarie or Macquarie-led investors. As I said, EP Infrastructure is having two investment grade ratings. So from our perspective, strong, stable group. EP Power Europe is a group which is mainly in the domain of power generation. Most of the flotilla consists of either renewables or flexible power generation capacities, mainly gas fired power capacities. And as I said, EP Power Europe is having participation in two major German operations, LAG and JTSD, which will be put aside into sister group of EPH, EP Energy Transition. On page 16, you can see evolution of EPH from 2009, when EPH was established. I think the most important message from this page is that despite the fact that we've been growing more or less all the time, the leverage of EPH was never above three times EBITDA. And I think this is very important sort of evidence that the financial policy of EPH is prudent, and that we are not trying to grow on the expense of the financial quality of the company. Now I would like to hand over to Filip, just to walk you through EP Power Europe.
Thanks, Pavle. I will just try to make it quite brief, because a lot of the things have been noted before and discussed by Pavel during the slides. Just a repetition of the key facts in terms of financial performance for 2022. EP Power Europe derived almost 3 billion of EBITDA, which is pretty much tripling the size of 2021. At the same time, what is topical for the company, despite all the heavy investments into new builds, which I will be still looking into a little bit later, free cash flow generation was 2.2 billion, and this translates into a very, very solid cash conversion ratio of roughly 75%, which is again something that is not regularly noted at the other peer companies in the utility sector. In terms of the segments, so again, EP Power Europe has three segments. One and the most important one being flexible power generation, which is clearly consisting of a mixture of well-balanced assets in the generation sector, meaning CCGTs mainly, and some other ones. Then renewable energy segment that consists of, for example, biomass plant, and this is again something that I just would like to note, that this is a true case of transformation story of EPH, basically from old hard coal plants, lignite plants, to something that is green, namely here Limehouse power plant that was converted from hard coal back in the years. And all of them are basically being a very, very significant one to the EPH operations. In terms of net power production for 2022, from our sets, we generated something like 34 terawatt hours of power, which is actually a decline to 2021 by roughly 10% because of the plant outages, etc. So that's only to basically depict that the plants are flexible in such a way that they are basically running in times when the renewables are not working, and by that they are creating a security of supply in those regions, which is a very important mission of EPH. We were saying that that EPP generates the power over the world markets of Western Europe mainly. So I will not repeat the countries that Power was saying. What I would probably just note that during 2023, EPH entered yet another market, which is the Netherlands, in which at the end of January we acquired two gas plants, and we are near completion for the other two. Once that is completed, we will be having installed capacity of roughly 2.6 gigawatts. In that country, so yet another cornerstone of EPH / EPP operations. We were saying that the companies or the assets that we are operating are very well positioned within the merit orders in those countries, meaning that these companies are typically running assets which are highly efficient and has very low fixed costs, which basically places us in the merit in a better way than the others. And what is also very topical for EPP and for those assets that we are being favored by the regulators, basically by various capacity schemes and balancing mechanisms, specifically the UK or Italy, for example, where we are basically reserving the capacity of markets specifically for the times when there is a constraint of power being, for example, generated by the renewables. So again, basically the portfolio that we are running is complementary to the renewable portfolio in those specific countries. With that, I think it's clearly important to note that our strategy is not only to be capacity provider or securing supplies in those regions, but basically to behave in a sustainable way in those countries where we operate. For example, as we were saying, we are EU leader in the decarbonization. Over the years, we basically managed to take off from the system roughly 25 million tons of EUAs or CO2 tons per year. So it's not only about words, it's also about action. Also looking into the future, specifically for EPower Europe, we are heavily investing into new builds, which are again going to be highly efficient hydrogen ready plants, basically again like standing basically and allowing for the markets where these plants are going to be built to have sufficient capacity in times where the renewable sources are not available. I think this is probably about page 17 because many of those things have been already said. So let's have a look briefly at those projects, which I think are very interesting ones. We were saying that in terms of new builds within the consolidated world of EPH, we are going to build something like 4.4 gigawatts of new installed capacity, mainly concentrated around CCGTs, which are combined cycle gas turbine projects, very highly efficient ones. So we are talking about like 50 plus percent of efficiency on those units. All of them being hydrogen ready, which is again like something that clearly depicts the strategy of EPH to be hydrogen leader in the future. And speaking of the estimated costs, we talk about roughly 2.3 billion of euro to be invested in the very, very near future. When we look at the project, I think probably I will not go into the very detail, but what is unique to every single project is basically the fact that we are investing into projects that are having very high visibility of the cash flows in the future. In these specific cases, the fact is that we are basically given, as part of the tender for the new builds, capacity contracts that ranges between 10 to 15 years, and that creates a very high visibility profile of these projects. So basically giving us very decent investment return while having visibility over the cash flow situation over the next many years, basically, for those particular projects. We are talking about the UK. We have been discussing before the Kilodut project. We have been discussing Tavazzano, Ostia in Italy, where one of the projects shall be basically ready towards the end of 2023, the other one within 2024. And newly, you might have heard that we have a new project which is not yet FID'd, but basically we view it as a testimony again to our strategy, and the project is in Eggborough, which is the site that we formerly bought back in 2015, I think. That site was consisting of very old hard coal plant, 2 gigawatts of installed capacity, which was later decommissioned. But we were buying the project or the asset with a view that that site is very well located in the grid, and that there might be potential to build something new on that site, which eventually turned true. So we were granted the project to build a new CCGT 1.7 gigawatts, which is a huge one. Plus, there is also a grant to build almost 300 megawatts of two-hour storage capacity that will be basically connected to the CCGT. So with that, I think, again, this is the type of project that we are looking at and that we are happy to invest in.
I will just complement here to Filip just to what capacity market means for us or the power generation capacities which we will build. Because in principle, capacity fee scheme, what it means is that the regulator is paying you a fee for every available installed capacity. In principle, this fee is covering your fixed costs, which are associated with the power plant. So you are covered from fixed cost perspective. In addition to it, you are generating a margin from power generation. And here what is important is that you are the most efficient power plant in the network, right? So It will bring you additional margin and profitability compared to other CCGTs or hydrogen-ready power plants, which are available in the market. So as such, these projects are, from the financial perspective, are very stable. And also in a way profitable for us. I think that now we can go to another page.
Yes.
Which is devoted to EPIF, and I would like to ask Gary to walk you through.
Thank you, Pavel. It's good to be a junior partner as a pillar of EPH. Full details of EPIF can be found on www.epinfrastructure.cz, where we announced our full year results not long ago. To confirm, EP Infrastructure has two investment grade ratings, and currently we have a BBB- on a stable outlook by Standard and Poor's. The one number perhaps to give you is to confirm that our EBITDA in 2022 was 1.4 billion. The strategy of EPIF has been the same for many years, three core pillars. We wish to and do in fact operate critical infrastructure in investment grade jurisdictions which have supportive and long-standing regulatory frameworks. We have four principal segments, gas transmission, gas and power distribution, gas storage and heat infra, or otherwise known as distribution of hot water to large conurbations. We have a stable, resilient cash flow. We have a solid track record of growth. The second core and simple pillar of our strategy is we wish to have dominant or leading market positions in our infrastructure assets. And indeed, we do. We are the dominant gas distribution company in Slovakia. We have the second largest power distribution company in Slovakia. We're a leading heat supplier for parts of the Czech Republic, and we are indeed the leading CE gas storage operator with additional gas storage in Germany. The third core pillar of our strategy is clearly we have a large and diversified asset base. This is a modern asset base which has a commonality of generating relatively high cash flow and a low maintenance capex, which is predictable out through indeed the medium and in some cases the long term. In addition, these assets now have ESG ratings. We have 18.2 from Sustainalytics, which places us into low-risk category. And we were pleased to have the first ESG rating from Standard & Poor's in the CEE region. On top of those three strategic points, which remain constant, we highlight that we continue to own our assets in partnership with public entities. And in fact, the Slovak Republic holds 51% share in our Slovak gas assets of transit and distribution. But we maintain management control of those businesses. And finally, 2022 showed that in an environment of elevated commodity prices, the results of EPIF actually flexes to the upside. And when commodity prices are not elevated, EPIF returns to a normal, stable infrastructure business. So that's the summary of EPIF, one of the two pillars of EPH. Wish me to continue, Pavel?
Yes,
please. Okay. So if we move to page 21, we will discuss for you some of the ESG issues around the group. We are a group that complies, I believe, to the highest standards. There is a main board director responsible for ESG, for EPIF, that is the CEO, and for EP Power Europe. It's also a board member who's specifically responsible for that. EPH continues to develop, tighten, and indeed evolve its ESG-related topics. These are continuously updated and exercised throughout the group. Indeed, as Pavel has mentioned, EPH is indeed a true transition group as Europe and indeed the world moves to its net carbon neutrality targets of 2050. Four main issues here, or one major commitment EPH has already publicly committed to being achieving carbon neutrality by 2050, and has already publicly stated four main objectives. The first is to reduce CO2 emissions by 60% from the existing generating plants that we had in August 2021 by 2030. And indeed, if you listened to Pavel earlier, you can tell that we're already significantly advanced on that date. We wish to have zero coal in our power mix of EPH by 2030. And again, we are significantly advanced, but it does highlight the key strategic move of putting those assets that are part of the German energy transition into a specific energy transition group, which means EPH as a whole will achieve its ambition to take out zero coal, I believe, significantly before the end of 2030. As Pavel said, the key to a reliable source of storage of renewable power has to be in green gases, and essentially it has to be in hydrogen. EPH will therefore become a European front runner in the transition to a hydrogen future. In very simple terms, we intend to transit hydrogen, distribute hydrogen, store hydrogen, and indeed you've been able to see from EP Power Europe that we intend to use and burn hydrogen to create power in the relatively new future. And point four, we confirm that EPH and EPIF, in fact, are creating a green finance framework, which we will use where applicable within the EPH capital structure and as the EPH group and its subsidiaries go forward. If we move to page 22, we try and summarize this, and Pavel has been through this, so I'll try and be relatively quick. EPH has an active role in transforming the energy system while safeguarding the security of supply. And I think 2022 has clearly shown the relevance of our transition model. Firstly, we are fully committed to a low carbon business model in the short to medium term, but we're also committed to a zero carbon model by 2050. Secondly, it's clear from 2022 that this transition has to be completed in a socially just way, i.e. it has to be affordable for the majority of consumers, both residential and industrial, within the European Union. And thirdly, and clearly very importantly, this transition has to happen whilst we ensure security of supply. And indeed, that was a key role that we played as a group in 2030. Socially just transmission, we have marginal emissions contributing 77% of EPH's EBITDA in 2022. The share of coal generation in 2022 was 28%. Six of those power plants are CHPs at district heating, heat infra in EPIF. Five of those power plants are recommissioned power plants that we had already transitioned, made specifically to the group at the request of governments. And nine power plants are operated in a must-run regime, i.e. supplying security with regards to baseload electricity, but also providing backup as Europe evolves its renewable production base. Carbon decarbonisation, we continue to seek real solutions And we are fully committed to renewable sources. Pavel mentioned earlier that we're intending to invest around 10 billion euros in renewable energies. The conversion and decommissioning since 2015 has meant that we've already achieved savings of 25 million tons of CO2 emissions between 2015 and 2022. Coal assets operated under must run. These will continue for a while. Fiume Santo in Sardinia, Kilroot in Northern Ireland, similar for Merom in Germany and El Houchet in France. Both of those based specifically on governmental requests. The Czech CHPs will be transitioned to a mix of biomass, waste to heat, and indeed gas. EPH has large investments already in carbon footprint reduction. Philip has gone through those for you already. The development of 5 modern and efficient hydrogen-ready OCGT, CCGT units in Northern Ireland, United Kingdom, and Italy, where he intends to invest around 2.3 billion. We'll leave it for there. In fact, we'll go to Pavel to finish off with the key takeaways.
Yeah. We'll try. I think that the major takeaways are that EPH proved to be a stable, resilient business, which is based on flexible power generation and infrastructure business. In infrastructure business, we are holding very strong position in the market. And in terms of power generation, we are operating power plants which are very well positioned in the merit order. And with the new builds, our position even improves. So from that perspective, the profitability and stability of the business should prevail also in the future. I would like to also emphasize that the 2022 result is not seen from our perspective as a one-off, because it's not only a result of challenging market conditions prevailing in 2022, but it is also a result of growth of the group in the meantime. So this should also help us to keep profit generation in the future at the levels which will not be probably comparable to what we have achieved in 2022, but you will not see any substantial decrease of the profitability in following years. In terms of liquidity and risk management, this is bread and butter which we focused on in the financial department of EPH and within the group. I think we have managed very well in 2022, and we take it as a very important learned lesson also for future years. So we are focused. The focus on risk management is still very tough, and the liquidity is key element of managing of the group. In terms of ESG, I think that Gary already summarized all the important messages. For me, what is the most important and new element brought within this presentation is that EPH will put aside certain businesses in Germany, namely LAG and JTSD, to sister group EP Energy Transition, just to create a group which will be fully focused on energy transition. This group will be heavily transforming the company in a social responsible way, and the investments which are associated with this change will be around 10 billion euros this following couple of years. So this is immense project which the group will carry on, and we are proud of it. And believe me that the social element is very important in negotiation with the German government, also with respect to shortening of lifetime of this power plants to 2030, where the shareholders or EPH are willing to discuss such a shortening of lifetime, and it will be constructive in this negotiation. But at the same time, we have to be very, very mindful about the social aspects of overall process, and also we have to be very mindful about keeping already existing agreements. with the German government. Last but not least, I would again mention management of the group, because the contribution of the management to the stability of the group and the experience of the management is very important, and these guys are working for the group for 20 years already, some of them, and the knowledge is key for being able to overcome such a difficult times like 2020 2 year was. So thank you very much for your time, and now we are open to questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. If you have joined online, please use the Q&A chat box provided. If you choose to withdraw your question, please press star followed by two. When preparing to ask your question, please ensure your phone is unmuted locally. And our first question goes to Peter Zurich of Tresidor. Peter, please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, guys. Can I just check that you hear me well?
Yes, we can.
That's great. Thank you for the question. Congratulations on the result. Obviously, a very, very successful year for the group as a whole. Just a simple question from me, really. Clearly the group is exceptionally cash generative. Over the past 2 years, you've paid around €1 billion on average as a dividend. What is the kind of goal or expectations for use of cash and capital generated in the group sort of on a go-forward basis? Is it more to pay higher dividends or maybe to reinvest in the group? If you're expecting to reinvest in the group, you've highlighted a couple organic projects, but are we thinking of some inorganic investments or anything else that you haven't necessarily highlighted in this presentation, or simply just deleveraging or repaying debt?
Thank you for the question. I think if you look at the leverage of EPH, it's clear that the company compared to peers is relatively underleveraged. At the same time, we have also stated that the shareholders are very mindful about the financial strengths of the company. So shareholders, including managers of EPH, are very flexible in terms of dividends. So far, no plan for dividend payout. But at the same time, if the money would just be sitting in EPH without any opportunity to refinance, then obviously one of the options is to pay out some dividends to support strategy of shareholders.
Okay, great. And any comments on potential inorganic opportunities, or maybe that's not something you're ready to share?
I think this is, in terms of EPH, I think that we have already announced acquisitions in Netherlands. I think we are creating a very strong position in power generation in Netherlands, which perfectly fits into strategy to diversify further the group in terms of power generation. And, this market is very close to UK, it's very close to Germany, which creates a lot of opportunities for us in terms of managing the overall portfolio. No other opportunities in terms of EPH were not announced, so I can't even comment them. In terms of the world outside EPH, I think it's the matter of shareholders, and I have to stop here because I will speak for EPH, not for the wider group.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sue.
Thank you. We have a question via the chat. Will EPETR be controlled by the same shareholders as EPH, or some other investors are expected to be invited to participate in ownership of EPETR? Thank you.
So basically, as Pavel was saying, EP Energy Transition shall be a sister company of EPH, so it will be having the very same shareholding structure as EPH. So answer is yes.
Thank you. The next question, could you please elaborate on potential energy from waste projects and your view on this sector given its current incompatibility with the EU taxonomy? Thank you.
I think that the majority of the projects will be are developed in the scope of EP Energy Transition, so I think it will not be part of discussion for EPH. We have a couple of one or two of them in in fact in EPF, and these projects are fully in line with Czech legislation. So from that perspective, no risk, and we are currently applying for incentives to build these new projects.
We believe incentives will be forthcoming on these projects. Essentially, we're committed at EPIF to a sustainability solution to all of our assets, and clearly waste to energy is a very sustainable solution. So we believe that we will comply with all regulations, and indeed, we believe that we will receive full support, not just from local government, but from the European government as well.
Yeah, I think what is important to mention here is that investment strategy of EPH always is very conservative, and always we go on into the projects which have a very high stability of the outcome. So if there is any uncertain moment in energy from waste projects, we will simply not do them, right?
Thank you. And the next question, what exactly does Hydrogen Ready entail for new CCGTs? Thank you.
Well, it actually means that you can co-combust hydrogen together with natural gas. The percentage basically depends on the technology. So the fact Hydrogen Ready is that basically it's possible to do it now. Clearly, with ramping up the percentages in the future.
That's great. Thank you. We have no further questions. I'll now hand back to the management team for any closing comments.
Okay. So thank you very much for your participation on this call. I wish you a very nice afternoon and goodbye for the whole team.
Thank you.